You are fortunate to have this man as your pastor. He has got a beautiful spirit, a kindred spirit with Brother DuBose. I mean that sincerely. I mean that. God is giving us some tremendous leadership in the districts, and I'm so thankful to God for that. And we are also pleased to share this pulpit with one of the great world statesmen, Peter Kuzmich, who has made an impact upon this world already. And I believe that God is going to continue to raise up great men and women of God to be the answers to the world's agony and suffering. And then to look out and to see the cohorts of missions and evangelism around the world thrills me. I have to say hello to the Flatterys. They have been back in the 1950s, we went to school together with Warren, and ever since I was a little boy, I've looked up to Dr. George. There's a great mission force in the world today under the banner of the Assemblies of God. Every missiologist I know tells me that the Assemblies of God mission force is now the most effective mission power in the world. We are grateful for what the Lord is doing. We have a great army of foreign missionaries, a great army of home missionaries, and each of them are as important as the other, simply because you cannot devalue one soul in this world. And wherever there is a soul and the work is being done, that is the highest form of ministry. For we are not in the business of church building per se, we're in the business of people and winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise. When you don't know what to do, win souls, and you will be full of wisdom. I am grateful this evening for all of the blessings of God upon my own life and for your hospitality and kindness. The welcome is just a little bit warm and a little bit too hot, but other than that, it is fine. The power went off in our hotel. And I want you to know that when you can't open a window in one of those hotel rooms, it doesn't take long for the furnace to kick in. And we got ready as quickly as possible and got into our nice air-conditioned car to come into this nice air-conditioned building. And I am now believing that by the time I go back, my room will be habitable and we will be able to breathe. How many are out there? Yes, I see a bunch of refugees from the Sheraton, and we will be praying that the Lord will help us to stay cool. Our theme tonight is Acts chapter 1 at verse 8. But prior to reading that, would you turn with me, please, to the beautiful little book of Joel, Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 at verse 28. Many of you don't have to turn. You can trust me. It's there. And God said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And then in chapter 1 of Acts, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing is it but the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Father, I pray that we shall continue the divine continuum of the upper room. I pray that we shall be the channels by which your power can flow into this desperate world. I thank you that you are not thwarted by men and circumstances. And I pray that you will not be confounded by the unbelief of a Pentecostal church, but that you will be pleased to use this Pentecostal church in the last days as a witness to the whole world. In the name of Christ, I beg your Spirit's fullness for these moments in your presence with your people. In Christ's name I give you praise now and forever. Amen. Without a doubt, friend, this book is the greatest faith builder in the world. The Bible itself says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I confess to you that I am still but a boy when I read the great stories, the heroics of the Old Testament. When I read about that Assemblies of God teenager named David, who went to face his giant on the campus and reached down and took one of those little holy rollers and put it in his slingshot and struck the middle of the head of that great giant, and as he fell, he said, nothing like this has ever entered my head before. And he collapsed before men, and David rose before the armies of God to declare that he came with sword and spear, but I came in the name of the Lord of hosts. I thrill to the story of the great story of Daniel and that king who was supposed to be sleeping in his king-size bed. God turned the tables and double-crossed that old king, for down in the dungeon the man of God was snoring comfortably against a pillow of that great mane of a lion. Oh, to look at how God, in his brilliance and in his power, overcame every foe, delivered his people, and marched to victory through the Old Testament. And then to move into the New Testament and see that babe born in the manger, in spite of all of the difficulties in that one simple act, over 400 direct prophecies were fulfilled by that baby crying in that little manger. I glory and I praise God that he's bigger than history and he's bigger than despots, and he has proved himself time and again through his almighty power. And then to hand off to the Church of Jesus Christ the tremendous commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I wish you could have seen that crowd he gave that commission to. I believe that most people would have fallen down in hysterics, laughing crazily, as he gave to that motley crew that great commission, go and turn the world upside down. Go in my name and declare my name to the whole world. And men and women said that ragtag bunch couldn't do anything. They can't possibly fulfill any kind of a commission. They do well to reach the boroughs of Jerusalem, let alone affect the inner city. But here we are tonight, a church that has come from the upper room, and in spite of the devils of hell, the church is alive and well. He will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I thank God that this theme, it's Pentecost, rings in my soul tonight, because I am a child of Pentecost. I am a child of the upper room. I am a child of that God that fulfilled that promise on that day and fulfilled that prophecy. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And I follow that continuum down through history. And I see that God's hand, even in the dark ages, was upon this world in prophetic power. And he will always have a church. And I am thrilled to tell you that I grew up in a home that lived in Pentecostal miracles. Day after day, week after week, great men of God came to our table. For my daddy was an old-time Pentecostal pioneer preacher. And he was called of God, stricken on the floor of the sawdust in Arista County, Maine, under the powerful preaching of a woman named Amy Semple McPherson. And as a teenage boy, he got a cardboard suitcase and, headed by a divine voice out of heaven, found his way down into Georgia through a long, long story of continuing miracles. And there met some of the greatest men and women of Pentecost in our history. And then by divine coup moved back up into New England, and there without education built one of the great churches that still stands. And I was thrilled to sit there. I wish now that my grandchildren could sit with me. And I wish that they could hear the stories that my daddy told me and that these great men of God shared with me. And I'll never forget some of them. My dad had gone so far back that he knew Smith Wigglesworth, the apostle of faith. And as a young kid, he heard the stories, and he said one time he heard Smith Wigglesworth answer the question, what is the greatest single miracle you have ever seen outside of salvation? And without even thinking, Smith Wigglesworth said it was in the Lake Country of England. There was nothing moving spiritually, and we could not seem to break the power of the devil. And I got angry. My dad said that I wouldn't have liked Smith Wigglesworth as a man. He was a very stern and taciturn man. He was also very, very blunt, and he was also very directive. And sometimes my dad said that he would be preaching and they'd have a divine healing line. Somebody'd come up with an ulcer and he'd say, are you healed of your ulcers? And he would say, well, I think so. Smith would say, well, let's find out. And he'd go pow right in the stomach. This is before the lawyers were in force. I can't imagine that going on today, but he was a stern and he was a very serious man, and when he gave an order, it was followed without question. And he said to his host after a particular Sunday, we have got to break the power of the devil, and the only way is through prayer and fasting. I am going to my chamber. I do not want to be disturbed until Saturday morning. I am going to fast and pray and see this thing through. And they said, "Yes, sir." Thursday morning, a man came to the door and knocked and said, "God has sent me to see Smith Wigglesworth." And they said, in trembling fear, "We will not disturb Smith Wigglesworth." Meanwhile, in the room, God had spoken to Smith Wigglesworth and said, "A man is coming this morning. Answer the door. I will use him to bring revival to this part of England." When the timid host knocked very quietly at the door, Smith Wigglesworth said, "My brother, it is fine. God has arranged this meeting." And when Smith Wigglesworth saw the blind man standing there, he recognized immediately that it was more than just blindness. Behind those eyelids were empty sockets. And he said, "Suddenly the power of God came on me in trembling expectation. I remember putting my thumbs into the empty sockets of the blind man. And then when I came to and I moved my thumbs, two beautiful brand new eyes were staring out at me as God had performed a cornea transplant, an eye transplant rather, in just a few seconds time. And I hesitate to tell that miracle to an American congregation, but you hear me today. I watched as the sun rose this morning, and I want you to know that that is the God that upholds all the worlds by the word of his power. And can he not put eyes back into the skull of a man in direct coup by a word from heaven? Hallelujah! We're serving a God that's bigger than rational minds are concerned. We're serving a God that philosophers can never figure out. We're serving a God that upsets science. We're standing here tonight on this place to declare that God is a God of miracles, and he is the God of Pentecost. There is nothing that can stand against him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can tell you personally that I have seen the paralyzed lifted from the heel by the touch and the power of God. I remember as a young evangelist up in Edgemont, South Dakota, little town up there on the border. I was a young evangelist for vigor. I was really loud in those days. And we were having a great move, and the little town was really touched by this powerful, sovereign move of God. And on a Thursday night, the building was filling up, and we began the service. A man fell into the center aisle. And I could tell immediately that it was serious, and a registered nurse, reaching over and trying to find a pulse, finally looked up at the pastor and mouthed the words, "He's dead." Something came over me. I'm only 5'7". But you know, when the anointing comes, it is not you, it's something more than just your own physical dimension. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And a divine anger rose up in my soul. I said to myself, a devil is doing this. An enemy is doing this. He's trying to blunt the move of God. And I went back and I said to that corpse, "You come back to life now. In the name of Jesus, you come back to life now." And I watched the eyes begin to flutter. The mouth began to move, and suddenly he began to speak with other tongues and stood to his feet. I want you to know that we're in the miracle business. I still believe in miracles because the miracle worker is still alive. He is the God that answers by fire, and he's the God that fulfills his word. We're in a great thing tonight, folks, and it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I am here to announce to you, by my own personal attendance and by the reports that come across my desk day after day, that we are now in the greatest Pentecostal revival in the history of this planet. I am happy to tell you that in Central America alone, an average of 400 people are coming to Christ every single hour that the clock turns. I am happy to tell you that in Brazil, we have 17.5 million adult card-carrying Assemblies of God members. In the great city of Sao Paulo, we have seen over 3,000 Assemblies of God churches raised up in that one city. In Rio de Janeiro, now over 2,000 have been raised up, some of them mighty churches of 10 and 15,000 that gather week after week and day after day with a powerful witness. In Argentina, we have seen well over 1 million saved in just 24 months. One of the missionaries told me, he said, "I know this much, Brother Crabtree, that if you got on a transit bus in Buenos Aires, Argentina, you couldn't go for more than 2 miles without a meaningful witness of Jesus Christ by some spirit-filled believer." You see, they really believe that they're called to be something more than pew sitters. They believe that they've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. They believe that they've got power from heaven, and the minute they're saved, they're turned into preachers. Oh my God, stir the American church again. May we begin to believe that every layman in the pew is a preacher, is a minister of Most High God. And this Pentecostal blessing is not just for the pulpit, it's for the workplace. Hallelujah. And the power of God can come in any moment and touch our lives and make us powerful witnesses of Christ. I wish that you could have been with me. Brother Jeter could tell you this, but I was thrilled to hear the report from our district superintendent, our superintendent from Cuba. He was at headquarters just the other day. Oh, I wish you could. It was absolutely fascinating. They asked the question, how many churches do we have? And he said, "I'd have to qualify that. These people confound you. There's no simple questions." He said, "When Fidel Castro came to power, he closed two-thirds of all the churches and did not allow another one to open." So I believe he said 127 or 147 Assemblies of God church buildings that are still active. But then he broke into the biggest smile. I'll never forget that smile. It was one of the most glorious smiles I have ever seen. And he said, "But Fidel Castro could not figure out the genius of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "When you said how many churches do you have, you normally think of church buildings. But we think of it as people." And he said, "There was no law against having a house church. And so in addition to 127 Assemblies of God churches, we now have in addition over 600 house churches." And I said, "Well now, what size are they?" And he said, "I preached in one the other day, and there were over 1,000 people in this house church." Hallelujah. They preach from the porches. The kids are up in the trees and on the roof and people all over. But he said that miracles are taking place. And he said, "How do I tell an American audience about the miracles that are going on in Cuba? They would not believe that God continues to raise people from the dead. They would not believe that blind eyes are opened in nearly every crusade that we have. Everyone that comes finds that there is a miracle worker loose on the Cuban island." And I'm here to announce to you tonight that God is still on the throne, and he's still moving through his church, and Pentecost is still a reality. Hallelujah. And when you get into this last day revival, you are seeing miracles of such proportion that you just have to stand back and say, there is no way to explain it. I was with Moses Cow just a few days ago, Moses Cow is getting his support to go back full time to Vietnam, where he has come from, and he and his family. Brother High, one of the dearest men in the world, our superintendent in Vietnam, has spent more time in jail than he has free. I worry just a little bit about some of the prosperity teaching going on today. When I have met some of these men, and I am not worthy to unlatch their shoes, that are so rich in faith. The last imprisonment of Brother I, he got word out. He said, fine. He said, everything's going fine. We've already had 34 prisoners saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the head jailer was just saved last week and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he wants to come clean the cell every morning to honor the man of God. I'm here to tell you the New Testament isn't dead, because the God of the New Testament is still walking through the candlesticks. Hallelujah. And he is doing exploits in the name of God. Hallelujah. And Moses Coward received word from the High that they needed an answer from God concerning the new persecution that had come, especially to North Vietnam. And said, Brother Cow, I've got to know whether to pull back or to move ahead against the persecution. And Moses Cow said, my brother, I will pray that God will give you a word, that God will speak. 4 Sundays ago in Fresno, California, Moses Cow was there with his family. At the end of the song service, there was a bit of a pause, and a little woman stood up in the congregation, and she began to speak in other tongues. But it was not other tongues to the Cow family. The little boy poked his daddy and said, she's speaking our language. And she was speaking in the South Vietnamese dialect. And of course, this woman had never even heard a word of Vietnamese. Heard of it. But there she was, flowing in the Holy Ghost as she was speaking to the man of God. I am with you. Do not be afraid. The God that has called you shall lead you, and you need not fear. My hand is upon your country, and your God will go before you. Be not afraid. And then she stopped, and she began to groan, and she changed to the North Vietnamese dialect. And I confirmed every word out of 2 or 3 witnesses that were there. I speak to you of the truth tonight. And in the North Vietnamese dialect, she began to scold Moses Cow. Why are you afraid? Why do you back up when I am ready to move by my power? Move ahead in victory. God is greater than North Vietnam. My God will go before you. Be not afraid. Can you imagine that the next day Moses Cow was on the phone? Have I got a word for you? Hallelujah. I'm here to announce it tonight. We're into something that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. You cannot explain that, but you cannot explain Pentecost, because Pentecost is evangelism equals. And I am praying tonight, oh God, start up there in the far balcony and to this side. And may somehow, God, you take the lid off of our unbelief. Oh my God, get us back to a believing church and a believing ministry that says with God all things are possible. And we're not going to put up with the devil anymore, but we're going to come against him in the name of the Lord of hosts. And we're going to see miracles of God again in our churches. My God still reigns. Hallelujah. And I don't want to put down for a moment all of the demographic studies. I don't want to put them down, but I think we're getting the cart before the horse. I think it's time for us to begin to say we have spurned the only thing that will affect our culture. We are not under the heel of American culture.
culture tonight. I am not afraid of the homosexual lobby. I'm not looking to now for answers. I'm not fearing and shaking against the powers of hell, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it's time for the preachers of this movement to begin to believe that with God all things are possible, and I mean all things. Hallelujah. Now, friends, we have tried it the other way recently, and it just hasn't been working. The American church is starving for the reality of a new Pentecost. It's not the layman, folks. You hear me? The laymen are hungry for what I'm preaching tonight. You hear me clearly? If you'll get a hold of God, preacher, and you'll begin to believe for the miraculous again, where you will believe that God is still on the throne, you will see the laity moving in victory. And I don't want to point to myself. I am simply a child of Pentecost. And there are times when I get so hungry, and I come into your churches, and I weep, and I say, oh God, would you just do it one more time? Perhaps I've told you this story. I have no concept of when I started, so I don't know how long I preached. But the hotel room is hot, and I don't want to go back there. Hallelujah. I may have told you this story, but it changed my life, and I tell it. Sometimes I can't get away from it. I was a young pastor, and I had just informed God that he couldn't use Catherine Kuhlman anymore. I said, God, now her background's all messy and she's not even qualified to be in the Assemblies of God. And I said, all that stuff, those $1,500 gowns, oh, I shouldn't have told you that, but very expensive gowns. And then when she comes out, it is so displeasing to have her floating across, having everybody singing how great thou art. Oh, it's almost idolatry. God, you can't use her anymore. And God has a marvelous sense of humor. Because when I came back from vacation, I had learned that I was appointed as the chairman for the Catherine Kuhlman Crusade in Des Moines, Iowa. And was I on the horns of a dilemma? I said, oh man, but thank God it's only one meeting, one big Sunday afternoon rally. I can get by with that if I just stay clear in the background. And a chairman, that name doesn't mean a thing. Really, it doesn't when those crusades. My only duty was to cue her when to go on stage. That was all that was for. Don't get all excited when you're appointed as the chairman of some big crusade. They run the whole thing and you're just an appendage. They need you just for that. It's nothing to it. And so I said, then stirring everything up and putting my convictions on somebody else, and how would I explain to these dear people that I don't think God can use Catherine Kuhlman when God is still using her? So I stayed in the background, and we were finally alone. They were all out there getting ready. Music was playing. And I'll never forget this. It sounds so terrible when I say this. But it didn't come across to her this way. I said to her, just so honest, I said to her, Sister Kuhlman, why does God use you? And she threw up her hands in her inimitable style. She threw up her hands and said, I've asked the Lord 100 times, no, thousand, no, thousands of times. And I don't know. And I said, thank you. And then I found out why. She began to pace like a caged lion. And I heard her prayers. Oh God, I am not worthy. I dare not go out there. For there is nothing that I can do. The sick will remain sick. The cripple will remain crippled. Oh God, take everything. Take the hotel, she said, I heard her screaming. Take the hotel, take it all, but take not thy spirit from me. And she kept moving back and forth, and she became more frantic. She held onto the curtain, and the tears ran down through the makeup, and she began to weep and cry before God. She said, I won't go out there. I won't. And I was watching her, my eyes, and she wheeled around and pointed her finger at me and said, pray. And I went, blah, 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 blah. Boy, did I pray. And she said, I will not go. I will not go. But, oh God, just one more time. One more time. Put your anointing on your handmaid. One more time. I will not go. And then I watched the Spirit of God strike that little spine. She stood straight, and she began to glow in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And she turned to me and said, now I can go. And when she danced across that platform, it wasn't because of Catherine Kuhlman. It was because the Holy Ghost was upon a weak vessel. And she was rejoicing that one more time, Pentecost had arrived and people would be healed, not because of Catherine Kuhlman, because God had arrived on the scene and faith had been born afresh in a soul. What would happen in the North Texas district, my dear brother superintendent, if this Sunday morning every pastor in this place would say, I'll not go to the pulpit until I sense the anointing again. And let the choir sing. Let them sing on. Let them sing on. But I will not go until I feel your anointing. Oh, ever since that time, every time I walk to the pulpit, I have said in my spirit, I dare not go there until I feel that special touch from glory, that special touch from heaven. And hear me tonight, it's available to every single one of you sitting in this great auditorium tonight, because this promise is not just to a few, but it's to all who believe. Hallelujah. I believe that God wants to bring back signs and wonders. And look who he said it to. Ye shall receive power. Not one of them qualified. Probably we have come too far. And we may have bypassed God's credentialing process. And I think we probably need to take another look and say the next army of Assemblies of God young people must not all only be trained in the mind and know homiletics and know the ethics and understand this culture. But there must be one thing when they walk before a credentialing body. Do you know God in prayer in the Holy Ghost? Do you know how to win a soul to Jesus Christ? Have you laid hands on the sick and have they recovered? Because he says these signs shall follow them that believe. And I believe it's time for the new Assemblies of God ministerium to have signs and wonders in their train. Not seeking them, but because of their faith they will follow. And men and women shall rise up in victory. And hear me, if we do not have this special fresh anointing upon this great Council, I am here to tell you that we're going to rob the next generation of what they must see. And I stand here tonight for the young people coming up in our churches. I stood before 1,000 young people some time ago and I asked the question, how many outside of salvation and the fullness of the Spirit have ever seen a real miracle? And not one hand was raised in 1,000 young people. And my heart broke for that generation. For they have been taught religion. And they have been cultured into the assemblies of God. But the assemblies of God cannot take any pride in their history. We can only take pride in the God of the assemblies. And I beg of you tonight in Jesus' name for the sake of this generation, preacher, would you begin to pray and begin to beg and begin to say, oh God, dare I stand in the pulpit again with just a sermon, but may I walk out of the prayer closet and out of my study with excitement in my soul, declaring to a world that's lost, yes, I have heard from heaven. I have a word from the Lord today. There's a healer in the house this morning. There's a Savior in the house this morning. There's a baptizer in the house this morning. And may our young people again see the mighty flow of Pentecostal power as men and women are swept along the divine continuum from the upper room even to this day. And it shall be fulfilled in this generation. I shall pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Will you do it? And I want us to sing, oh Lord, send the power just now. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I'm going to ask my wife to help me. And as we sing, I want us to rejoice in the presence of God. And I want everybody in this place who wants a Pentecostal ministry. I know that I called for not church as usual last night. But I believe God is wanting to do a powerful thing among us tonight. From the upper balcony to this lower level. I want everybody in this room that wants an infilling of power from on high. And you want a confirmation of a miracle ministry again. That you're not going to put up with things as usual as I said last night. But you're going to have Pentecost at any cost. I want you to come and stand down here. God's going to refill and fill and baptize and anoint. And I want everybody in this place to walk out of here tonight saying, I receive a fresh and doing of power from on high. Let's sing it and rejoice. Oh, Lord, send the power.